So, what shall we talk about?
Dhamma.
Huh?
Dhamma.
What kind of Dhamma?
Up to Ajahn.
What?
Up to Ajahn. Up to Ajahn.
I don't know. I asked them what they are interested in. What? No, no, he can ask the question later. He can ask the question later. What?
Answer the question, what kind of Dhamma you want
to? This was just... I still have to look, you know, what I'm talking about. Still don't know. Yeah. And the question is, what is important in your life? Getting married, having children? Getting a house, getting a car? Huh? Growing old, getting retired and die. That's about, yeah, that's about life, yeah. We are born, yeah. We are growing old, we get sick and then we die. And what are we doing with our life? Ask yourself. Do you do something, you know, that is wholesome, or do you just, you know, just follow the kilesas who tell you what to do? Remember how long it remember how long it took to learn how to walk, to talk, yeah, to think, to go to school, yeah, before you could even use this body. Went through puberty. That was a lot of fun, huh? And then you start to work. Yeah? You find a job and you work and work and work for this body. Because all what we do is working for this body, yeah? And in the end, you know, this body dies. Think about it, you know. Think about your life, yeah? But whatever you do for this body. You eat for this body. You sleep for this body. Yeah. You take medicine for this body. Yeah. You work for this body to be able to afford all these things. Huh? And then this body dies. And what do you have from this life? What is the purpose of your life? What is the meaning of your life? Have you ever thought about it? Or do you just follow the kilesas who tell you to do this or that? Yeah? Sorry for being a little bit harsh on you, yeah, but you know, I mean, it is important that we wake up once in a while. Waking up, what am I doing? Why am I here? Why am I born? Yeah? Huh? Never ask this question. Oh, what do I want, you know, what do I want to take with me when I die? Because when I die, you know, the citta goes into another realm, and then we start from the beginning. Then we start again from fresh, yeah? We learn to walk, we learn to talk, we learn to read, we learn to write, we learn to think. Then we work, then we get married, we have children, yeah? We get retired, you know, and waiting for death. Retired. And how often have we done that? How many billions of lives have we lived already? And we are still not tired of it? Yes, we're not tired. We want one more time. Ne? please don't drink while I give a talk. Yeah, I mean it is very respectless. Yeah, I mean how can these people in Indonesia not living 5 minutes without water? Huh? It's not respectful for the towards the Dhamma. You come here to listen to the Dhamma, yeah. And the Dhamma is something very precious. So we should respect it. And not going our on our worldly terms, yeah. worldly way. Not doing our worldly way or not going in our worldly way. I mean, the Lord Buddha saw the plight of the people, you know, and found the way out, you know, out of this constant birth and death of the samsara, and he was so kind, yeah, enough, and to teach it to us. Samsara means the endless cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. And the Lord Buddha found the way out, and was so kind to teach us. And still, you know, in our days and time, we still have the teaching of the Lord Buddha that is still possible to reach the end of dukkha. Was so kind to teach us, you know, so that, you know, that we still, in this day and age, you know, we still can reach the end of dukkha. Buddhism is still alive, yeah, and it will be alive for another few hundred years, yeah, but, yeah. But that towards the end of the time, there will be only the scriptures, yeah, and nobody practicing. And we still have masters, you know, and we still just a few years ago, we still had masters who accomplished the task of reaching Nibbana. And most of the precious teaching is coming from Thailand, huh? Where all these forest masters, you know, have been. Since Lung Pung Man, you know, there are so many arahants, you know, who have reached that the end, yeah, or Nibbana in this life. And they were so kind to teach us, you know, the way, yeah, how to achieve, you know, the goal of reaching Nibbana. Because if you just read the suttas, yeah, of the Lord Buddha, I mean, it is nearly impossible to reach Nibbana if you don't have somebody who can show you the way. It's like you learn, you know, you learn English from a teacher, you know, who cannot speak, you know. If you read the teacher, he knows, you know, he knows the books, you know, but he cannot speak, he cannot pronounce the words, he does not know how to express himself, yeah, even though he has read all these English books, yeah. And if I didn't have the Venerable Lung Tamaha Bo, you know, I still wouldn't know how to how to go along the path, yeah, how to deal with the difficulties on the path of practice. When I was in the West, of course I practiced meditation, yeah, but my meditation teachers, when I asked them, yeah, couldn't tell me the way out. They could teach the Samatha meditation that I taught you this morning, yeah, but about investigation they hardly knew anything. When they asked them how to overcome greed and hate, they said, just let go. Then I told them, I cannot just let go. There is nothing, you know, there's no way that I can let go of this, yeah, because it constantly comes up. And then I came across a book, you know, Dhamma from the Heart, yeah, from Lung Tam Mahapo, and then I said, I need to see this teacher. So I had to go to Thailand to find the true Dhamma. And the first thing that he taught me was, you cannot let go. He explained it, you know, if there is an ant, you know, at the ceiling and it wants to go down to the floor, huh? I mean, all what it needs to do is to let go, yeah, and then it falls to the floor. But this ant doesn't know this command, yeah. This ant doesn't know this command, you know, how to fall to the floor. It cannot let go. Yeah, it doesn't know the command. Yeah, I mean, you have a command to go, yeah, yeah. The only thing it knows is, you know, put one foot in the front of the other. And then it walks to the end of the ceiling, walks down, you know, on the wall, you know, until it reaches the floor. And that is the same way for us. He said, he told us, you know, this is the way that we progress, yeah? Because we don't know, just like the ant doesn't know how to let go, we as human beings also don't know how to let go of greed and hate. But just like the ant, you know, we have a way to go forward. And the way forward is, yeah, breaking the 10 fetters. Cutting. The first fetter is the fetter of doubt. Doubt. I mean, you translated my book, huh? Huh? You translated what?
Is it the first one is doubt?
Yeah, it's a doubt that there's heaven or hell.
Mm.
Or that in the heaven that there are heavenly beings, yeah? In hell there are beings in hell.
Mm.
Now, how many people believe in that? Yeah? They don't believe in heaven or hell. They don't even believe in rebirth. And they certainly don't believe in karma. The karma, that good deeds will have good results and bad deeds will have bad results. And this is the first fetter. The second fetter is not keeping the five precepts. Yes, yesterday I explained you the five precepts, yeah? Not harming any living being, not taking what is not given, no sexual misconduct, no lies and harsh speech, yeah? And no alcohol and no drugs. In Pali, this fetter is called Sila Pada Paramasa. Paramasa. That means, yeah, fiddling with the precept. That means one day I keep them, the next day I don't keep them, then I keep them again, then I don't keep them, and then I do, yeah, keep them again and don't keep them. Yeah, that is fiddling with the precept. That is the translation for Sila Pada Paramasa. And the third fetter is the belief that we are the body. That the citta and the body are one and the same thing. Yeah? These are the first three fetters that we have to break in order to go to the stage of Sotapanna. But our attachment to the body is so strong that, you know, I mean, this third fetter, to break this third fetter is not easy. I mean, I told you yesterday, it is like, you know, you're born in a car and you die in the car and you never got out of the car, so you have to believe that you are the car. So we believe, you know, the driver and the car and one are one and the same thing. But the Lord Buddha was so kind and knocked at the window and said, "Get out." Get out and see that the car and the driver are two different things. This is a similar, but we have to get out of the body, or we have to see that the body and the citta are two different things.
kita harus keluar dari tubuh ini untuk melihat bahwa tubuh dan cinta ini adalah dua hal yang berbeda.
Yeah. So if we can break the first three fetters, then we can enter Sotapanna.
Bila kita bisa memutuskan tiga menu pertama ini, kita bisa masuk di tingkat kesucian Sotapanna.
Sotapanna means stream entry.
Sotapanna artinya pemasuk arus.
That means we enter the stream and at most we are born another seven lives. So that means within these seven lives we can reach Nibbana and never be born again. It's something that you should understand, you know. I mean, if you're fed up, you know, with constantly being reborn again, die and reborn and die and reborn again. So remember these first three fetters very well, yeah? The fetter of doubt, yeah? Not believing that there's karma, not believing that there's heaven and hell, yeah? Breaking the precepts, keeping the precepts, breaking the precepts, yeah? And the third fetter, you know, I mean, that the citta and the body are one and the same thing. What?
The second fetter. Oh, sila. Yeah. Bahwa tidak menjaga sila dengan tetap, ya, jaga hari ini, kita langgar lagi, jaga lagi. Dan yang ketiga adalah bahwa mempercayai bahwa sengkara dan tubuh ini adalah satu.
So there are ways, you know, how to achieve, you know, getting out of the body, yeah, or seeing that the body and the citta are two different things. When you're in meditation, yeah, break the body apart, you know, cut the body up, you know, and put it in front of you. And look what part of the body you call body. Is the brain the body? Is the heart the body? Is the lungs the body? What part of the body is the body?
Caranya adalah kita memotong tubuh kita dan kita letakkan di depan kita dan kita bertanya yang mana, bagaimanakah yang kita sebut dengan tubuh? Apakah yang tubuh? Apakah tangan tubuh? Atau yang lainnya yang kita sebut tubuh?
And if all the parts of the body are in front of you, you know, who is sitting there and watching these parts?
Dan ketika kita meletakkan bagian-bagian tubuh di depan kita, kita bertanya, siapakah yang melihat tubuh yang di depan?
That is one way of seeing that the body and the citta are two different things.
Ini adalah salah satu cara untuk melihat bahwa tubuh dan citta adalah dua hal yang berbeda.
And some people might be able, you know, to get out, you know, in meditation, to get out of the body, you know, and drift afar, and then they can look at the body. Yeah? But that is not very often that people can do that. I mean, keep this, what I say, you know, keep this very well in your mind, you know, if you want to get out,
yeah.
And understand, you know, there's one thing that you really have to understand, that it is karma. Whatever we do, yeah, whatever we say, yeah, whatever we think, yeah, with the intention of thinking or of doing or saying something, yeah, I mean, we create karma, yeah.
Yaitu perbuatan secara
And this karma will come back to us. But it doesn't come back to us instantly. Just like when the farmer, you know, puts the seeds in for growing rice, yeah, he has to wait for 6 months, you know, so that he can harvest the rice. So that means for, if you do today a good deed, you know, it won't come back, you know, in the evening. Yeah? I don't know about the Indonesian people, but I know about the Thai people. I mean, they come and give donations in the morning to the temple, and then when they get out of the temple, they buy lottery tickets. Yeah? You have lottery tickets here in Indonesia?
Used to, but not anymore.
Not anymore, yeah. It is like, it is as foolish as, you know, as the farmer, you know, puts a seed in the morning, you know, and looks in the evening if the rice has, you know, already, you know, is already ripe. So most of the karma that comes back in our next life. Some of the karma might come back in only a few lifetimes, yeah? But most of our karma comes back, you know, within the next life, yeah? Sometimes, you know, when we go to hell, you know, and then come back as a ghost, and then come back as a human being, then the karma comes back to us, yeah? Whatever we did good to people, whatever we did, you know, bad to people, will come back in the human form. Yeah. So you should be very scared of karma, you know, of creating karma, you know, especially bad karma. For whatever happens to us right now, no matter in the relationship, no matter, you know, in our situation here in Indonesia, huh, it is all the result of our karma. We have to understand that. You can think about, you know, karma. You know, we still have a mountain of karma, you know, that we haven't even used of. Yeah. When we die, you know, we go and take other kind of karma, you know, within for the next life. It is like, yeah. So it is like going on a trip to another country. You pack your bags, and whatever you think you need, you put in the bags, and that's what you are going to use when you're on the trip. And while we are on the trip, you know, we buy this or we buy that, you know, we make this and we make that, and then we take it back home. And then we go home, we unpack, you know, and pack for the next trip. Yeah, we unpack all the things, you know, and pack for the next trip. So that's what you can imagine, you know, to be like, you know, when we die, yeah? I mean, we take some of the karma that from this life, yeah, back, yeah? And when we come back into the next life, yeah, then we take, you know, other kind of karma, you know, for the next life, yeah? Just like, you know, packing, unpacking. And there's lots of karma stored in our house. Just look at your house, you know how many things are there, yeah? Okay, if you understand that about karma, you know, be careful about what you do. I mean, the Lord Buddha said something, yeah? I mean, people don't realize, yeah? If you do something good or if you do something bad to an animal, you will get it back 100 times? So just one good or one bad deed, you know, will come back to you 100 times when you do it to an animal. And if you do it to a human being, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it is 1,000 times, yeah? It comes back to us 1,000 times. But the purer this person is, the more often it comes back to us.
The purer the person, the more coming.
Yeah, the more often it comes back.
What's coming?
The karma. Our good deeds. If we do something good, you know, to a very pure person, yeah, it comes back, you know, it comes back more often.
Yeah. Jadi semakin suci seseorang itu, semakin murni seseorang itu, maka karma itu akan kembali lebih sering.
Yeah, that's why in Thailand the people like to offer only things to arahants.
Oleh karena itu, kenapa orang Thai itu sering suka berdengar kepada seorang
But nobody knows who is an arahant, so. So they assume that all the monks are arahants, yeah? Anyway, that is about karma, so be careful, you know? Because it's not only coming back one, yeah? A bad word that you utter, you know, to your friend is not coming back only one time, yeah? It's coming back 1,000 times.
Kita harus mengingat hal ini dengan baik-baik. Apapun yang kita lakukan juga kepada teman kita sekali akan kembali dalam balasan yang 1,000 kali.
And that can be extremely scary.
Dan hal tersebut bisa sangat menakutkan.
But one good deed also comes back 1,000 times.
Tetapi satu perbuatan baik juga balasannya 1,000 kali lipat.
So from today on, you just do good deeds.
Jadi mulai hari ini kita hanya melakukan perbuatan baik saja.
But then we have a problem with our greed and our hate, yeah?
Then there's the problem.
We have a problem because of our greed and our hate.
Tapi kita memiliki masalah karena keserakahan kita dan kebencian kita.
Hmm. So how to overcome greed and hate?
Jadi bagaimanakah cara kita mengatasi kesalahan dan kebencian?
Where is greed and hatred rooted?
Di manakah kesalahan dan kebencian berakar?
It is rooted within our body.
Ia berakar di tubuh jasmani.
We want the things, just like I explained before, we want the things for our body. We want drinks, you know, food, you know, sleep, anything, yeah, touch, yeah, all these six senses that come with the body, yeah.
Jadi kita menginginkan sesuatu untuk tubuh ini, contohnya minum, makan, tidur, indra perasa, dan enam indra.
The sense of seeing, the sense of smelling, the sense of hearing, the sense of touching, and the sense of tasting, and the sense of thinking. These are the six senses. Six. Thinking, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. Yeah? Finished? And when you look at your life, that is what you're for. Yeah? That's what you constantly do. Yeah? You look for these senses. You like the food, so you like to taste different things, yeah? You like to drink, you not only drink water, you drink all these different things, yeah, for the taste, yeah? So to overcome, you know, greed and hate, we have to investigate this body, including the senses, yeah?
Jadi untuk mengatasi keserakahan dan kebencian ini, kita meneliti tubuh ini, meneliti indera ini.
And that is the way forward, you know, like the ant, you know, I mean moving forward, you know, to go down to the floor, and it is for us as monks, you know, or lay people, you know, to overcome greed and hate by seeing, you know, that the emptiness of the senses, that there's actually nothing to it. How often do you need to taste this kind of food or that kind of food? Yeah? We cannot get enough of it.
Berapa sering kita harus mencoba rasa-rasa dan makanan ini, kita tidak pernah merasa cukup.
We eat the food, you know, for the maintenance of this body.
Kita makan adalah untuk...
We drink? Maintenance.
Untuk memaintain, merawat tubuh ini.
To keep it healthy.
Untuk menjaga tubuh ini.
The same thing for drinking, the same thing for sleeping, yeah?
Dan juga hal yang sama dengan minum dan tidur.
We don't indulge in the senses.
Kita tidak indulge.
To desire too much.
Tidak terlalu mengejar kenikmatan dari
So what else? What else do I need to explain? Yeah. To overcome, yeah, overcoming, you know, greed and hatred leads us to the realm of anagami or non-returner.
Untuk untuk mengatasi keserakahan dan kebencian bisa membawa kita kembali ke kesucian akhirat.
So the fourth and fifth fetta are greed and hatred.
Jadi belenggu yang keempat dan kelima adalah keserakahan dan kebencian.
Once we cut completely loose of them, then we can enter the realm of anagami.
Ketika kita memutuskannya dengan sempurna, kita dapat memasuki tingkat kesucian anagami.
So the anagami is still, you know, the five higher fetters to overcome before he can enter Nibbana.
Jadi seorang anagami masih memiliki lima belenggu lainnya untuk diatasi untuk mencapai Nibbana.
But greed and hate, when you think, when you think about the fight that we have to endure on the way to Nibbana, to the freedom from dukkha, I mean, it is like facing three armies. The first two armies are greed and hate.
Kita mendalami hal ini, kita berjuang ya, kita bertarung seperti bertarung tiga pasukan. Yang pertama dan kedua adalah keserakahan dan kebencian.
Behind the army of greed and hate is the army of delusion, yeah.
Dan di belakang pasukan keserakahan dan kebencian adalah
Moka. Lopa, dosa, moka. Yeah. So what we are facing with, you know, when we start our practice, you know, is mostly greed and hate. Yeah. And behind greed and hate, you know, is the army, yeah, of mokha, yeah, that pushes greed and hate in forefront.
Mokha yang mendorong ke depan keserakahan dan kebencian.
Like greed and hatred is rooted in this body.
Seperti keserakahan dan kebencian yang berakar di bumi.
So is mokha rooted in our thoughts and memories and associations. Once we are finished with it, with finishing off, you know, mokha, then there is still avicca. It's a mastermind. I mean, I translate it as wanting to know, but not being able to know. That is why we constantly look on our smartphones wanting to know, yeah? Asking this question, asking that question, yeah? Going this place or going that place, wanting to know. That is behind, that is the mastermind, avicca. But not only wanting to know, but also wanting to understand. We want to understand things. But we are not able, avicca is not able to understand things in line with the truth.
Bukan hanya ingin mengetahui, tetapi juga ingin memahami, tetapi tidak dapat memahami sesuatu yang sejajar sesuai dengan kebenaran.
When you look at the Pali word, vicca is knowing and avicca is not knowing.
Bila kita melihat bahasa Palinya, vicca adalah mengetahui, jadi avicca adalah tidak mengetahui.
But that is enough, you know, that is enough for you to know.
Cukup bagi
I would say, now, you know, I mean, ask your questions that you have, yeah? Take the opportunity, you know, I mean, there are not many teachers, you know, in Indonesia who can answer your questions, yeah?
Jadi ambillah kesempatan ini untuk bertanya, karena tidak begitu banyak guru di Indonesia yang dapat menjawab pertanyaan.
You would have to go to Thailand, you know, and find the few masters that are still left, you know, to ask the questions that you aspire to.
Jadi Anda harus atau Anda harus pergi ke Thailand untuk mencari guru yang sudah sangat sedikit untuk dapat menjawab pertanyaan.
I gave you yesterday and today, I gave you the basic, you know, the most basic things, you know, of Buddhism. Yeah. So, I mean, go ahead and ask your questions now.
Jadi beliau hari ini dan semalam memberikan hal yang sangat dasar dan dasar dari pelajaran Buddha. Jadi sekarang Anda boleh memberi pertanyaan atau boleh bertanya.
Cutting up our body, you know, I mean, we can start only when we are able to concentrate, yeah, on the object without interruption for 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah? I mean, if you do samatha, I'll translate first.
Mempraktekkan memotong bagian-bagian tubuh. Jadi tadi aku sudah menjelaskan bahwa kita perlu bisa berkonsentrasi paling tidak 10 sampai 15 menit tanpa ada gangguan sama sekali, yaitu terus-menerus.
About investigation, I haven't really talked about it, how to do it, yeah. I might do it tomorrow, yeah, how to do properly investigation, but we can only start investigation when the mind is able to, yeah, to stay with the object, yeah, be it the breath or be it the bottle, for 10 to 15 minutes without any interruption. And that is already mostly difficult for most of the people.
Menjelaskan tentang penyelidikan sama sekali, mungkin Bati akan memberikan pengetahuan tentang hal ini besok. Tetapi untuk lakukan hal ini, pikiran kita perlu menetap pada objek selama 10 sampai 15 menit tanpa ada interupsi sama sekali. Tetapi hal ini juga sudah sangat sulit.
Because we need to be able to see the object that we want to investigate very clearly. It's like when you read a book, you know, you need to see the letters, you know, unless, yeah, before you are able to read. So when you close your eyes, you know, then you have to see the body that you want to dissect, you know, or take apart very clearly with your inner eyes. Without that, yeah, without that, and I mean, any investigation is, yeah, I mean, thinking, yeah, and thinking does not solve any problem, has never solved.
bisa berbuat demikian ya itu hanyalah berpikir, dan dengan berpikir kita akan membawa kepada
kemana. I mean, just look at your life. I mean, thinking has never solved any problem.
Kita melihat hidup kita dengan hanya berpikir tidak menyelesaikan apa.
It's either words or actions that solve the problem. No? It's either words or action that solve problems.
Yaitu kata-kata atau perbuatanlah yang menyelesaikan suatu masalah.
So with the investigation, it's the same thing. We have to see things clearly that we want to investigate.
Dengan penyelidikan juga sama. Kita harus ada dengan jelas apa yang kita selidiki.
Okay. Put with breathing in, do with breathing out.
Does it the boot follow the whole body of the breath? Or
while you're breathing, you say put. While you breathe out, you know, no matter how long it takes, you say do. But when the mind is getting calm through this method, either the Buddha or the breath will fall away, and then you just stay with what remains, be it the Buddha or be it the breath. There was a question in the back. What do we
cut the citta? When we cut the body, we also cut the citta.
How can you cut the citta? The citta cannot be cut.
Tidak bisa memotong citta. Tidak akan bisa.
The citta is the one who knows.
Citta adalah yang mengetahui.
Right? The one who knows that there's a body, that there's a part of the body, yeah? And the one, you know, who also does the cutting, yeah? You cannot get rid of the citta. You can get rid of the body, but not of the citta. So the second?
The second is the citta is absolute or permanent?
Yes, it is permanent.
Yeah, citta is permanent.
Yeah. But as I explained yesterday, there are two different kinds of citta. It's a defiled citta, you know, that every one of us has, and it is the pure citta of the Arahant.
That's what we want to ask. Citta is the one in the
the defiled citta is occupied by the avijja and greed, hatred and delusion.
Yeah.
Just like Indonesia was occupied by the Dutch for 350 years. Yeah?
Seperti Indonesia dulu dijajah, dikuasai oleh Belanda selama 350 tahun.
But once you got rid of the Dutch, you know, I mean, you were free, yeah? Until the Japanese came.
Ya, setelah kita terbebas dari Belanda, kita menjadi pemerintah bebas.
And now you're occupied by your governor. Okay.
Number three is apakah anatta bisa
ulangkan? Apakah memiliki dengan cita tadi itu termasuk di dalam anatta?
Oh, is the cutting the body is like in the scope of anatta?
What? What?
Cutting the body.
Of course.
Yeah.
Everything in this universe is in the scope of anicca, anatta and dukkha.
Semuanya dalam kehidupan ini semuanya tercakup dalam anicca, dukkha, anatta.
Only nibbana doesn't have anicca, anatta, dukkha.
Hanya nibbana.
I thought I explained it yesterday.
I don't think so.
Okay. She wasn't here yesterday. It's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me, it's not myself. I mean, when you look right or left, you know, you see a person, it's not you. Whatever you see, whatever you experience cannot be you. We live in the world of duality. So there's I and you. There's subject and object. The subject, I know that there's a feeling, or I know there's a body. So the body cannot be the I.
Saya merasakan perasaan, saya merasakan bumi ini. Jadi saya ini pastilah bukan bumi.
Just like I see a cloud, the cloud is not me. Or I see a person, the person is not me. I see my arm, yeah, the arm is not me.
Seperti kita melihat awan, saya melihat awan, saya bukan awan. Saya melihat orang lain, saya bukan orang lain. Saya melihat tangan, tangan saya bukan tangan saya.
But I'm not going to explain everything that I explained yesterday.
Tapi nanti tidak mungkin menjelaskan yang telah dijelaskan semuanya. Sangat penting.
Okay, other question.
What? Body swing is kiri kanan.
Yeah. when the body is swaying, then the chitta is swaying. I mean, when the driver of the car is at peace and doesn't do anything, the car does not go anywhere. And the chitta is the driver of this body. So when the body is swaying, then you know that the chitta is not calm. Ya, translated.
Jadi nanti menjawab bahwa ketika tubuh bergerak, artinya cinta juga bergerak. Jadi intinya adalah cinta itu dalam tidak dalam keadaan yang tenang, maka tubuh itu juga bergerak.
Why we can get into samsara?
How do we get into samsara? Huh?
why we are in samsara?
This is a question you should never ask. You should ask the question, how do we get out of samsara? Think about swimming in a big shithole. Shit, yeah, full of shit. And then far away, you know, you see a person, you know, not being in the shithole. And the first question you ask this person is, how did I get into the shithole? Or wouldn't you ask him, how do I get out of the shithole? Huh? Understood? So, no more questions, yeah?
the citta right now and the citta in the next life is the same citta?
No. I mean, it's just like, you know, are you the same person, you know, when you go to this country or that country? Yeah. You change according to where you are, yeah? So your characteristic tendencies change, yeah? I mean, in the beginning of this life, you know, your characteristic tendencies were like this. And towards the end of the life, you know, it changes. According to your experience, you know, you change.
Seperti kita baru saja melahirkan atau ketika kita meninggal, kita tentunya karakteristik kita juga berubah. Seperti kita mungkin orang-orang yang berada di negara yang lain juga, mereka semua memiliki karakter yang berbeda-beda.
If it would be always the same, there would be no hope for us getting out.
Bila kita itu selalu sama, maka tidak ada harapan bagi kita untuk keluar.
Yeah, take the opportunity to ask questions, and you know? I mean, when do you have to, yeah? Hendrik. Yeah. Ask them, you know, I mean, now this is the opportunity to ask, yeah? I mean, we don't know, yeah? You don't know when you have another opportunity to ask questions, yeah?
Tanyalah pertanyaan, karena kita tidak tahu apakah kita masih memiliki kesempatan untuk bertanya.
Well, if they are not, you know, I mean, then we just close, yeah?
Tidak ada. Nah, ini saya mau tanya Kak Chan, cita dari seorang arahan, kan citanya sudah murni ya. Jadi cita murni dari seseorang arahan dengan arahan yang lain, apakah dua identitas yang berbeda? Itu pertanyaan. Terus cita itu masih Ajahn Mipas, that the arahat citta is pure.
Yes.
So, two citta, two arahat, does the citta is a two, identified as two different citta, or the same citta?
It's the same citta.
The same citta.
Actually, we have all the same citta. But our citta is dirty. Think about, you know, our citta being a towel, you know, with a lot of dirt and a lot of shit. Whatever we touch, you know, it gets dirty. And the arahant has cleaned the towel, and whatever he touches, nothing gets dirty.
Jika masing-masing arah punya cita yang lebih dan pada saat mereka sudah paling tua, apa yang terjadi dengan cita masing-masing arah tersebut? What happened with the cita of the two arah when they go to the mana?
Huh? What is the question?
What happened with the citta of the arahant, the two arahant, he was asking about the two arahant.
The citta is nothing personal. So nothing happens to the citta. It's the same citta. It's, I mean, you can think about it, or you can think of it, yeah. I mean, having a huge cake, yeah, and Avijja takes hold of one piece of cake, yeah. Once Avijja lets go of the cake, it goes back to, yeah, the big cake. And that is the citta.
Jadi contohnya kita dapat membayangkan satu cake yang besar. Avijja mengambil satu bagian, satu porsi. Setelah Avijja melepaskan satu porsi tersebut, itulah citta. We become completed.
Yeah, we come all from the big cake.
Yeah, kita datang dari satu cake yang besar.
And because Avijja, you know, takes part, you know, and you know, and says, it's me, it's mine, it's myself, yeah. That's why we believe, you know, we are not part of the big cake.
Oleh karena kita punya pandangan bahwa ini adalah saya, aku, milik saya, diri saya, maka kita tidak terlibat kalau kita merupakan bagian dari cake yang besar ini.
You understand? Yeah. Once Avijja releases, yeah, then we are part of eternity or part of Nibbana that we have always been.
Ketika Avijja telah melepaskan bagian tersebut, maka kita merupakan bagian dari kebahagiaan atau Nibbana.
Okay, fair. But these kinds of questions don't help us with our daily practice. You still have to fight, you know, tiredness when you meditate, yeah? I mean, it doesn't help you to understand, you know, what the citta of the arahant is. And you still have to fight with your dosa, with your anger or with your greed for this or for that, yeah? Okay, so, no more questions, then we stop, yeah? Evang komidue. Evan, it is well, it is done, it's over. And think about what I said very carefully, you know, make the most out of your life. It is your life, you are responsible. Okay.